Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. We have a doozy of an interview for all of you listeners today, as I am joined once again by a returning champion here on our Cracked Interviews podcast, a man you all know best as an All-American during his time at the University of Michigan. Of course, I'm referring to fifth-year Andrew Fenty, who joins me once again on today's show to discuss his receiving of the 2023 Hurd Award. That award provides a $100,000 grant to a college athlete with pro aspirations. Of course, that's precisely what Andrew Fenty has, and that's why I wanted to ask him what receiving this award means to him, what it will help him accomplish as he begins to navigate his time on the pro tour. Of course, I also had to ask Andrew about his massive 2022 college fall, what he and the Wolverines hope to accomplish here in the 2023 spring as well. All of that covered and so much more. Again, it's always a pleasure for me to get the chance to chat with a guy who I've known for about 5 years now. And again, it's always a delight for me to speak with Andrew off mic, on mic, to obviously, as such, excited to share today's conversation with all of you Cracked Rackets fans. With all of that said, quick reminders, we've got a ton of college tennis action for all of you college tennis fans tuning in here today, including the top five thriller, Ohio State versus Michigan, this Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern time on our Cracked Rackets YouTube channel. Simply put, folks, you don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss any of the action we've got. We've got broadcasts on ESPN, ACC, SEC Network Plus every Thursday, Friday, Sunday, covering all the action happening in the ACC and SEC. Of course, we recap the college tennis world every Tuesday, Wednesday night on our Cracked Rackets YouTube channel as well. So if you're a college tennis fan, rest assured, we've got you covered here at Cracked Rackets. Of course, we've also got Indian Wells coverage over on our Mini Break podcast feed. All that content available wherever you listen to your podcasts or on our website, crackedrackets.com. But enough with the plugs. You didn't come here to hear those. You came here to hear from the All-American. So let's get to it. Here's my conversation with the one and only Andrew Fenty.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Joining us on the podcast once again today is a returning champion here on our Cracked Rackets show, a man you all know best as an All-American during his time at the University of Michigan, the first player in Michigan men's tennis history to hit the century mark in doubles wins, and now the recipient of the 2023 Universal Tennis Foundation Hurd Award. Welcome back onto the show, Andrew Fenty. Andrew, first of all, happy belated birthday to you, my friend. Not the worst week to follow things up. How are you doing today?
Dude, doing good. Just got it from a red eye, but we're doing good. We're feeling good. High spirits for sure.
That's what I like to hear. And obviously, again, let's start with the big news. You are the recipient of the Hurd Award this year. You and Peyton Stearns receiving a $100,000 grant, which of course will be able to help you as you begin your pro career after this season. You know, what does it mean to you to be honored with that award?
Dude, it means the world, man. Like, I was on the stage with Mackie and then Daniel Collins, and I was like, dude, what is going on? Like, I'm at Indian Wells. Like, it was definitely surreal, but it was an honor, man. It was a privilege, and I just soaked it all in, but something I'll never, ever forget. Probably, like, life-changing, honestly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, to just expand on that even further, talk to me about what the weekend looked like. They flew you out to Indian Wells, right?
Yeah, flew out to Indian Wells, got there Saturday. Mm-hmm. I want to say Saturday. And then just, like, walked around, just hung out for a little bit. And then basically since Sunday morning was, like, on go. everything was on go. I was just doing like media interviews with UTR, and then we were on the stage, which you guys saw is some videos. I think there's some videos that are gonna come out too. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
No, it was again a well-earned award for you. And again, I'm curious, what does that application process look like? You know, because obviously, again, $100,000 is no small sum, and obviously for Universal Tennis and obviously the Hurd family to continue to contribute and try and provide any sort of resources to college tennis players trying to make this transition to the pros is obviously such an admirable thing. So shout out to them at the start. But, you know, again, for you, what does this application process look like? What do you have to do to put yourself in a position to receive an award like this?
Well, yeah, they had the, they gave it to a graduating senior. Mm-hmm. And I guess if you're like a pro, mm-hmm. or like turning pro, but it wasn't actually that much tennis related. Also, it was like humanitarian. Mm-hmm. And just like they did a lot of research into like as I am as a person, like my like social media. They were asking my coaches, like, people, what do you know about them? And they really like got to know me. And yeah.
I won't lie. Yeah. I'm slightly offended I wasn't on the references list. Like, talk to Gruskin. He knows me a little bit. Like, I didn't get the call, which, again, personal dagger. But to that end, you know, talk to me, because I know that's been an important thing for you. And as we're speaking right now, we'll put out some of this on video, hopefully, a couple clips here or there. You're wearing a Soho Youth Club hat. And just, again, those, you talk about that humanitarian aspect. Talk to me about some of the things you have done throughout your career, you know, to, again, give back to the game, give back to others in your community.
Yeah. Well, at first, I mean, here is at College Park, JTCC, we had to do a lot. I remember we had to do, I think, was it once a month, we had to go to clinics in Washington, D.C. and teach younger kids. I remember doing that. And then when we got to Michigan, and Steiny was – we didn't even talk about it. He was like on board with basically doing the same thing. And we did a lot of give back a lot of, he likes to educate us off the court about basically like what's going on in the world. And he just did such a great job with it. And now I just feel like I'm in a great place to influence the next generation also.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, to that end, obviously, you want to do that not just with your actions off the court, but on it as well. Let's just talk straight up, dollar figures, $100,000. What does that do for you as you begin your pro career again, to have that grant, to have that sort of financial security?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first, takes a lot of pressure off my family, but sure. It just allows me to invest in myself, invest in coaching, travel, tournament, I don't know, like everything. It's basically everything tennis related. So whatever I think can get me to the next level, I'm going to invest in. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. To that end, you know, I was reading Colette Lewis wrote about your receiving of the award and how she did an interview with you. And you talked about your time, even when you were going to Michigan, like you were excited to play college tennis and you were excited to be there, if not for one, maybe 2 years. And now 5 years later, obviously you're wrapping things up as a Hurd Award recipient. Did you ever see a world where you were going to be here for all 5 years in Ann Arbor? And, you know, again, I guess just to put a final bow on that career, to be here year five, where is your head at where things stand for you as you begin to prepare for the pro career? How much more prepared are you actually now?
Sure. That's a great question. I mean, that's a great question. Because you come in school. I mean, I was a top junior. I didn't know much about college at all, honestly. I just knew it was like, I don't know. I was just going to get an education, but I didn't know much about the level. Mm-hmm. But I mean, and then I didn't know what actually would happen inside of college, like what would happen. But obviously my first 2 years were very, very good. And then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And then we had the COVID year, which was for the Big Ten, was not great. And then last year, where it was not a good year for me, to now. So I feel like I just like been riding it, like riding the wave, and I didn't really know what happened, but it's just, I feel like you think you go into school, you go into school, you think something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then like, obviously they just completely flipped. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Well, to that end, I'm curious from just a straight up tennis perspective, because, you know, again, I was there your freshman year when you beat JJ Wolf in Ann Arbor during Big Tens, and obviously you had a really solid first season. You know, you have been a top 10 doubles player now, I think, with three different doubles partners throughout the course of your career with Gavin Nino and Matthias Seymour. You know, the results have kind of been there from the start, and yet I'm curious, like, obviously last year was a little bit of a blip, and we can talk about that in a second, but in what ways do you think you have just gotten better on the tennis court?
Yeah, I feel like my whole game has changed, and it changed a lot definitely this year. I mean, I feel like I'm definitely more aggressive. I'm not just like running on the court.
Sure.
like I was. I'm not just being like Mr. Physical or whatever, but I feel like I'm a little bit more, I'm just smarter. Smarter in a way, I can think through things. And maybe my first years, I was just like savage. Like, if that makes sense. Like, I was just going to be like, okay, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. Like, now I feel like wins are not as crazy as they were. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I feel like my whole, literally game, my forehand, like my serve is like so different now, like technique. But yeah.
Well, it's so fascinating to hear you say that, because you're right. The physicality has never been the issue for you. And, you know, again, I think the less kind way of saying it is there were times when you would just kind of be running and swinging and you're like, you know, I'm going to get through this. And, you know, it's so interesting. You talk now about the purpose, I guess, you have in every match you play. And like, case in point, you know, again, I was at the indoors. I watched you play really good tennis against Arthur Ferry, and like, you know, again, really good tennis against Elliot Spizzieri, even in losses there. And then, you know, obviously what you were able to do in the quarterfinal round against Inaki in Virginia, that was fun to watch. I won't lie. I guess, what does that purpose look like for you? Like, you talk about, again, having more plan out there. I don't want you to give away the full game plan, because I know you guys got a big match this weekend. But, like, is it just, like, searching out patterns? Is it figuring out what you're comfortable with? Like, what does that actually look like out there?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was what I wasn't comfortable with, and then becoming comfortable with it. So just maybe accepting sometimes that, like, I'm going to make 30 balls here. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it. And I'm going to get to every ball and that. And then there's also like, hey, I'm going to step up and hit this ball, and I'm going to hit it. And then I'm going to come forward, you know? And I feel like I'm actually, even my losses, I can piece, like, my losses are not as crazy as they were. They're not as like if I lose, I'm still playing good tennis.
Yeah.
And it's not like as lopsided as I felt like it was.
Well, just to interject there, because I think that's fascinating. Like, I think the Ferry match, the Spizzieri match, case in point to that. But, like, the ball to me, let's just get into the weeds here. You know, we can do this even if I'm not a character reference for you in your Hurt of War run.
Yeah.
The forehand slice. Like, there are, you know, 2019 to 2022 especially, Andrew Fenty loved to hit that forehand slice. And I don't know a lot of people who love to see it. And I'm sure, like, again, it's part of your defensive skill set. Like, you're tracking balls down. That's what you like to do. But I feel like you kind of cut the shit this year, where it's just like you're not doing that as much. Am I on to something?
A little bit.
Okay.
Dude, I love that shot, bro.
Yeah,
I know you do.
I know
you
do.
It's so janky, dude. It's so janky and scrappy. I don't get it how I developed that. Dude, it's a DMV thing, dude. I don't even know.
100% it screams, I trained at the JTCC.
Yeah, you saw that shot Francis hit, the under one?
Yeah.
The step one? It's like some weird. I don't even know.
I've seen you hit that volley, the one across his body. Yeah, the little drop, backhand drop, whatever. Like, I know you can do that, but I feel like, again, should you be doing that all the time? I mean, I think I once had this conversation with Steiny on the show, and he's like, Alex, do you want to? Yeah. Well, he's just like, Alex, do you want to coach the team? He's like, do you think I don't say these same things every day? And I was like, yeah, I'm sure you do. I'm just like, I'm curious if, because, and I see the smile on your face, like, that's part of the fun of playing tennis. You want to do those things. You want to be creative. At the same time, it feels like you've cut them down a bit.
Yeah. No, for sure. My, I just feel like it's maybe a little bit more mature too. Like, I just feel like my misses are a little bit more calculated. Like, you kind of see what I'm doing there. Like, I'm not like missing a forehand slice, like inside out forehand slice or some crazy shot like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, the game looks good. And, you know, again, you mentioned this to me offhand. I'll ask it to you here on the show as well. You know, I watched your match in the City Open qualifying this past summer, where unfortunately you were forced to pull out with injury. And, you know, again, for listeners that don't know, you put together a 17-1 fall in singles in college. And, you know, seeing you even now here on the Zoom, like, you have clearly slimmed down. You have clearly transformed your body. I'm curious what that process looked like over the course of the summer. You know, how big a focus that was for you.
Yeah, that was like my whole focus, to be honest. Like, this this summer, I wanted to feel confident in myself again. Confident that if I needed to go long, like, I definitely could. And I did a lot of running, man. A lot of salads. Yeah. But it's helped. It's paid off a ton. Paid off a ton. But,
well, I'm curious, because you said it there. Is it more running? Is it more dieting? Or is it? Does it have to be both?
No, it's got to be both. Okay. It's, you got to be like, I just felt like this summer I didn't stop training. Like, I kind of just like kept going, and not like tennis training, but like training, like, I'm going to do this, this, and this today. And I literally did that, like, every day.
Well, it's interesting because you didn't play a ton of matches. Like, you played just the City Open, and then you played the college fall, but no pro events. Was that tactical?
Yeah. After the college one, I was honestly, I was like struggling a lot, and I like couldn't get myself going. So I took a long time off. And then in the time off, I kind of found like maybe a new love for the game again. And I went to a new place, obviously. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, that, had you ever stepped away from the game like that before?
No.
Mm-hmm. What was that like? What'd you do? What were the things you're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to try this.
Dude, I actually worked.
Really?
That's
great. Nice. Yeah, that's a good answer. What were you doing? No,
dude, I worked. So my uncle has a shoe store.
Okay.
In DC, a running shoe store. So I just worked there. Mm-hmm. So I would run, and then just work there till like four.
That's the life. Dude, it was
a really and it taught me something new. Mm-hmm. It taught me how to fight again.
No, absolutely. And, then, you know, to that end, obviously 17-1 in the fall for you. Let's just talk about you personally again from the tennis court perspective. You alluded to it earlier. Obviously, you look at, you know, the 2022 season for you. I think you went 10-8 overall in dual match play. I mean, again, it's in retrospect now. Maybe it's easier to ask this question 6 months later. Did it piss you off? Like, what wasn't clicking last year for you?
I feel like maybe my mind a lot. I wasn't probably where I should have been. And in a lot of aspects, I wasn't doing the things that I needed to do to feel confident on the court. And, you know, I was just kind of complaining a lot. I wasn't fighting like I usually do, not competing off the court like I usually do. And it hurt. Yeah. It hurt a ton. And it was a real awakening, mm-hmm. for sure. A real adjusting and seeing everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That said, if you could relive one moment, clinching over PY or getting that Hurd announcement, which do you relive?
Wait, PY?
When you PY Bailey, when you beat, yeah. Sorry, that's just yeah, exactly. The Bailey match or the Hurd Grant call? What do you take?
Bailey match.
Yeah, which is like, again, that moment to get back to the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Again, talk to me about the buzz right now around this program. And because obviously you saw it in the fall, not just you. Yeah. Gavin has a great fall. Pat's out on the pro tour doing his thing. You know, Styler's the only guy to make money in a down market. Bickerstaff, obviously, a great fall. Everyone's doing their thing. talk to me about the buzz right now. You know, what's clicking so well?
Yeah, we're feeling confident, man. Like, we've got a great squad. Our practices are great too. Our practices are insane, actually. They're really intense, really good, and we're able to get the best out of each other on a daily basis, maybe more than other years. And we're just all about the process right now. It's all about May. You know, we're not really dwelling too much like right now on wins or losses. We need to learn. So, you know, we kind of welcome them, and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. As you look at your group, it's funny because there's two ways I look at it. Obviously, you're an experienced group, right? You and Pat are in your fifth year. Andre, not only national indoor semifinals this year, but he was a part of that 2020 run as well. And, you know, again, guys like Gavin Young, whose dad coached college tennis, he's been around it forever. Bickerstaff and Nino are juniors now. Even Cooksey's in his second year. And yet, you know, again, that national indoor experience for you guys to get to a national semifinal, did it feel new for this group? You know, how valuable was that national indoors run to get two wins at a national event like that and then play that third? I'm just curious what you guys learned through that experience.
Yeah. That, I don't want to say new, but that is an interesting question because it was kind of new, right? Mm-hmm. It was kind of new. I mean, the only people is me, Pat, Sty, mm-hmm. and BD.
And me. I was there. Yeah. Yeah. The five of us were there in 2020. That's it.
That's it. And like, otherwise, like, it's pretty new. Mm-hmm. But I mean, so it did. It did. I mean, I felt like, yeah, maybe sometimes it felt new, like a new atmosphere, which is, I think, good, I guess, for the younger guys to see it. But yeah, it could have. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah.
No, I mean, well, where I think, and I said this to all of you guys afterwards when we were chatting, I mean, again, I know this team has national championship aspirations, and anything short of that's, you know, again, not where you guys want to be. But I'm curious if, like, you felt like a front runner at all. Like, to me, that's the new part, is to be in the semifinals and kind of, like, expect to be there. Like, no disrespect to any other team, because I want to ask you about the depth we see across college tennis right now as well, because I think it's crazy. But I'm curious, like, to some extent, again, with this group, you talk about keeping a focus on May and like enjoying the process, or, you know, really locking in on that process. That feels a little new to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I'm happy you said it. That's kind of a big point, is we've never felt like that. Like, we're in the national semifinals and we're the higher seed. Maybe we're the seed that should win, mm-hmm. which is really cool. Because it was obviously not like that for me my whole college tennis career, but it was definitely something new. And even in the out of conference matches, every match we played, I think we were the higher seed. Mm-hmm. I want to say. So it just still like, and we're still getting used to it. Going to Ohio this weekend, higher seed. Like it's still obviously new, and it's just we're definitely getting more used to it.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's the toughest part, is again, like, generating that belief. It's one thing to be in the national championship conversation, and I feel like it's another thing to be like, no, we can win a title. And like, it's the stupidest thing in the world, so I'm sorry, but I said it on the podcast, so I'll say it to you again. My junior year, We lost in the round of 16 at Club Nationals to the Florida team that like eventually made the final. And it was like, we should have killed them. And then like we were watching the final. And it was like, this team had no business being there. We would have smoked both these teams if we would have just woken up. And it's like the next year we did. And it's kind of like, I always think like you kind of need to go through a loss as a group like that before you have the shot at the win. And so like, that's why I thought that National Indoor experience was so interesting for you guys. Cause it's like, okay, now you know what it's like to be on the end of that. And now, but the good news is it's not May. So it's like, hey, but now you kind of get another shot at it. So it's like, now you know.
Yeah. That's like spot on.
Yeah.
It was like spot on how we felt.
Yeah. Anyways, personal interjection there. That's my commentary. Maybe people get mad at me on the podcast now because they're like, back in the day, you used to share things and like you used to offer your takes. Now you just want everyone to be happy with you. It's like, all right, you want my take on Michigan tennis? There it is. Case in point. Yeah, no, I mean, more broadly, as you look at this team again, what is the focus? You've alluded to it, but you know, what are you hoping to accomplish between now and the start of May to prepare yourselves for an NCAA tournament?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like we definitely want some titles.
Yeah, sure.
We definitely want some titles for sure. But I mean, we're going to be in s'mores, man. Mm-hmm. Dude, I think this is the Big Ten is great. Mm-hmm. Big Ten is great right now. And so we got some tough away matches, so I feel like it's good to be tested. You know, we need to be tested. We need to see new things. And so what great way to go to Ohio this Sunday.
Yeah, no, that's the big one. Yeah, you mentioned it. Illinois is good. Northwestern's good. You know, obviously you already played them on the kickoff weekend. Really tight match there. There's depth throughout the conference as well. You know, I am curious. You've alluded to this earlier. You saw TCU at the National Indoors. You saw how good teams like Texas and Kentucky, and obviously you got to play Virginia, who are still the defending NCAA champs, didn't have Botzer at the National Indoors. How good is college tennis this year? I mean, I feel like even compared to 2019, it's like the COVID years, this is just an explosion.
College tennis is good.
Yeah.
College tennis is it's legit. I mean, if we don't win it, I feel like it could go anyway. Like, I feel like there's just like everyone can win it. Like, I could see everyone like, mm-hmm. Just teams are good, man. Like, teams are good. Teams are so deep. Like, Ohio's deep. Mm-hmm. TCU, Kentucky, Texas. I'm gonna miss teams too.
Can you imagine though, like 2019 Beatty against Bickerstaff at 5? Like what Bickerstaff would do to Beatty on that day, or like at the indoors, Maloney versus Johnston. Like, can you imagine Pat versus Connor? Like what that match would have looked like? Because that's what the match would have been. It's like again, Gorzny at 5. He's a junior Wimbledon champion. Like. Yeah. You can point across the country. I guess, again, it's interesting to hear that you guys are aware of that. And I'm curious, when you see guys like Shelton run into the top 50, JJ run into the top 50, what does that tell you about college tennis?
You got Rinky, Holt, Kova. Yeah. I mean, I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked. I'm playing indoors, and I'm like, dude, the level's so high right now. Like, I feel like I'm like losing, but I'm playing like good. Mm-hmm. Like Spiz is playing good. Like, I'm like, this is like great level. Like, how can I? And it's just like no one knows. I feel like sometimes no one knows or it's downplayed, but I feel like so confident. And I feel so confident in me and everyone else. Like, even our team, like we literally can have like 3 people that can play one.
Yeah. No, I remember watching what Andre versus Samir in the Stanford match, or even Andre versus von der Schulenberg. That was maybe the better example in the quarters, where it's like, Jeffrey is not playing bad. And like, oh my God, what Andre's doing. Yeah, you're just like, or there are days like that. I mean, again, you mentioned it, like what Ferry did against you. I was like, yep, that's what top 200 tennis looks like. And there's a reason he's had future success. Toby Samuel is a top 500 guy in the world now at South Carolina. What he's capable of doing with his serve and forehand. I mean, it is interesting because, you know, I'm sure you'll see a lot of those guys as you make the transition to the pros. Is your plan right now? I know, obviously, you're very focused on everything with Michigan. Have you allowed yourself to look at what the to think about what the first few months on the pro tour might look like?
I feel like, yeah, I think I got a good solid idea, maybe a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll stay in the U.S. for a little bit in the beginning. And then after that, we might go overseas before the next hard court swing.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Do you know where you're going to train out of yet? Have you set all that up, or is that in the future?
That's in the future. Mm-hmm. I'm not too sure yet.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Sure, yeah. I mean, I'm sure as you look short term. By the way, you talked about the practices. I looked at the rankings. To have three top 20 guys right now, I mean, talk to me about the level of the practices you guys are playing. Sure, because, again, good. I feel like it's good preparation, certainly.
We've got good practice, but we have we've got me, Pat, and Sty. But also, we got Nino coming back.
Yeah, how's he doing?
Dude, Nino's doing good. Yeah. We got Nino coming back, so we've been playing with Nino, mm-hmm. and then Nino's been killing it. So our sets are like really, really strong, and yeah, mm-hmm. I got back a little late today, so we'll see tomorrow.
Yeah, I like it. All right, I'm gonna ask two questions just because people get mad at me if I don't ask them before I let you go. You mentioned Nino there. Obviously, we know what he can be in the singles lineup as well, but like quietly, Cooksey went 3-0 at the indoors. You know, similarly, doubles pairings wise, you guys played a little bit around at spring break. I know you and Gav have played really well at that one spot, but do you expect you guys to keep tinkering around with the lineup throughout the course of the year? And again, yeah. Is there trust? Like, does that create any issues or not really?
No. Dude, I love that. Well, I love it. Well, yeah, I love it. I love being unpredictable like that. Mm-hmm. I think we all do, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think it's great, and I think that's great. I don't know who we're gonna play in Ohio. Mm-hmm. You don't know. dude, no one knows. Like, but I think that's how it should be because of how good the level is. Mm-hmm. We literally could play three different people, mm-hmm. and every match would be a war.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. And, you know, you mentioned the match against Ohio or Ohio State, as fans will know them, that match happening this Sunday in Columbus. First of all, you were there when it wasn't a home-and-home. How great is the home-and-home invention from Steiny and Ty? Like, that was genius.
Yeah, that was good, fam. For the years to come, it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really good. I want to know what that phone call is like.
Yeah, probably fun. I mean, like, I feel like it's an easy yes for both guys. It's like, let's do it. Okay, let's definitely do it. But to that end, you played them four times last year, 2-2 overall. You've played in Columbus before. Talk to me about those in that environment, what this match means to this program, and what we should expect on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, this one's circled for both teams for sure. Mm-hmm. This match is going to be a dogfight. It's really going to come down. I mean, I feel like not a lot of teams have had success in this building, but if one team can and knows what they're getting into, it's definitely us. So I think we're definitely up to the challenge. I mean, we saw what it was like last year, and I think we got a good shot, but that team is always ready, man. They make great adjustments. They're always fighting. So we'll see.
It's going to be a really fun match. It's one we have circled on our calendar, one we're so fortunate to be able to be broadcasting on our Cracked Rackets YouTube channel as well. Now, unfortunately, I will be in Phoenix, so I won't be on the broadcast. It's probably best for my health because, just again, it's going to be really fun. It's going to be delightful. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of respect, though, between you guys and these Ohio State players, because it's just like Cash, Trotter, Boulay, Cannon, like Tracy. Yeah. You guys know what it's like. Again, this is year five around the block for all of you guys.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like what's there not to respect? We go win. We trade wins. So just a great Yeah, I feel like it's just a great opportunity for both, and we'll see.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be really fun. Obviously, it's one everyone's got circled on the calendar, and, you know, something I think all of us take appreciation of is the fact of and what you've been able to do this year, and obviously to win that Hurt Award, a testament to all you've done both on and off the court. And, you know, again, I'm always appreciative that you're willing to tolerate our nonsense as well. So, Andrew Fenty, always appreciate getting the chance to chat with you, wishing you and the team luck, not just this weekend, but obviously throughout the remainder of this season. And hopefully we will chat again soon.
Appreciate it, AG.
Yeah, of course. Take care, my friend.
Appreciate it.
Hope all of you enjoyed my conversation with University of Michigan All-American Andrew Fenty. A massive thank you to him for taking the time to chat with us, particularly during a week when they've got Ohio State on the schedule. And a reminder, we will have that match 2 p.m. Eastern time on our Cracked Rackets YouTube channel this Sunday. We've got college broadcasts Thursday, Friday, Sunday, not only on our Cracked Rackets YouTube channel, but of course also on ESPN, ACC, SEC Network Plus. So if you're a college tennis fan, be sure to check out all of the action, deciding points, recapping all the Division I men's and women's college tennis world over on our Great Shot podcast feed as well. Those episodes drop as podcasts on Wednesday and Thursday. Of course, they drop on our Cracked Rackets YouTube channel Tuesday, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, Indian Wells content over at the Mini Break. All of those shows available wherever you listen to your podcasts or on our website, crackedrackets.com. A shout out, as always, to our super producer, Danny Westoff, for the of an editing job he does day in, day out, making all of this content possible. With all of that said, for the fantastic Andrew Fenty, our super producer Daniel Westoff, and all of us here, excuse me, at both Cracked Rackets and the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. You've been listening to another edition of the Cracked Interviews Podcast. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you all soon. Thanks, everyone.